Arsenokoitēs is sodomy. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. And the following subject has been in the desktop folder of my computer since March of 2022. For a year and a half, it's been waiting for me for an opportunity to present this, even though I actually added a lot to it this evening. In Greek, there is a word, aner, which means man, as well as male, with a wide range of related uses in various contexts. For example, it describes an adult male as compared to a youth or a boy, according to Liddell and Scott. A related word, arsene, is defined as masculine in that same source. In their definition, they state that this word is used to mean masculine, whether the subject is the grammatical gender of nouns or the male sex, in their own words, whether it be of men or of plants. It was figuratively used to describe something robust or coarse, something masculine, opposite phallus, which describes something tender or delicate, where it may already be realized that phallus literally means feminine in Greek. As for sodomy, a term for which we now use the euphemism homosexuality. The Greek word is arseno, that word arsen, which means masculine, arsenokoitēs. And it was used in scripture and in later times to describe sexual relations between men. In their intermediate Greek-English lexicon, Liddell and Scott define arsenokoitēs very simply as lying with men, citing only the New Testament. But in a large 9th edition of their lexicon, they define it as sodomite, explicitly citing 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, and the Anthologia Palatina, a wide collection of Greek epigrams and other inscriptions, of which I happen to have a copy. That particular epigram is found in Book 9 of the Greek Anthology, published by the Loeb Classical Library at Harvard University at 9, Book 9, Epigram number 686, and it was originally an anonymous inscription found on the eastern gate of Thessalonica, that would be the city of ancient Macedonia. It's in modern Greece, northern Greece today. It dates to the time of the Emperor Basil I in the 9th century AD, and it says in part, "Thou hast no need to fear the barbarian or sodomites," which at the time, and in this historical context, was a Greek charge against the invading Arabs. So some things never change, and they are still the same today as sodomy and heathens are always friends all the time. Basil is mentioned in the epigram, where he is called destroyer of the valor of insolent Babylon and light of incorrupt justice. That's kind of sounding like the king of Babylon there. So the word arsenokoitēs is a compound. I'm sorry. Okay. So the word arsenokoitēs is a compound of arsene, which is masculine, and the Greek word koite, which is a feminine form of coitus, which is a resting place or a bed, and koite is especially a marriage bed, quote unquote, as Liddell and Scott defined the term. A koite is a bed where you get married. Then, as they also explain, the term is used of sexual connection, citing passages from Numbers and Leviticus in the Septuagint. And to become pregnant by a man, citing Romans chapter 9, verse 10, where it is translated as conceived in the King James Version of Rebecca, or as lasciviousness, citing Romans 13:13, where it is chambering in the King James Version. The same way that we may say that a man bedded his spouse in modern times. Chambering was the proper Elizabethan English term, I guess, for bedding. So, the ancient pagan Greeks certainly knew sodomy, of which there are countless examples in the classical literature. But they did not use the explicit term arsenokoites, which seems to have been coined by Paul of Tarsus. The word arsenokoites is used in the New Testament in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, and 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. So here we shall cite the King James Version. 1 Corinthians 6, 9. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. Now that whole last phrase, abusers of themselves with mankind, comes from this word in Greek, which is arsenokoites. So, the same passage from the Christogenia New Testament reads, and I deliberated over whether I was going to use the term sodomite or homosexual, but I wanted to make it very clear that the term meant what we call homosexual today. So, when I did that translation, I used homosexual. Or do you not know that the unjust will not inherit the kingdom of Yahweh? Do not be led astray, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor homosexuals shall inherit the kingdom of Yahweh. If I read verse 10. So, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10 from the King James Version. For whoremongers, and for them that defile themselves with mankind. And once again, defile themselves with mankind. Those four words were translated in the King James from the one word arsenokoites. For men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. And therefore, in the current Christogenia New Testament, the same verse reads, fornicating, homosexual, kidnapping, lying, falsely swearing men, along with anything else which is contrary to sound doctrine. But the King James translators chose to render arsenokoites, a noun which is used both times in a masculine plural form, as abusers of themselves with mankind, and them that defile themselves with mankind. Those translations may not seem clear to many people today. Today, lovers of sodomites everywhere take advantage of the ambiguity of the translations to attempt to defend sodomites and to rewrite Paul's words. Newer translations twist them because, as they believe, everyone knows that Jesus loves fags. The deceit is incredible because the plain truth is that God hates fags. At the time when the King James translation was made, 1611, the term sodomite was already in use. But it was used to describe an even wider range of sinful sexual acts than those between two men. Another term than those which were used in those passages from the King James Version, which is buggerer, may have been used. And I don't know why it wasn't used. The first anti-sodomy law in England was the Buggery Act of the reign of Henry VIII, which explicitly forbid anal sex between men. So at least 80 years before the King James Version was translated, the action described in the word arsenokoites was called buggery in English. And those who committed it were called buggerers. Why didn't the King James Version use the term buggerers? That would have been pretty funny when I was a kid if I knew that term. And since they chose not to use buggerers, why did they not use the term sodomites, which they used four times in the Old Testament? In 1 Kings 14:24, 15:12, 22:46, and in 2 Kings 23:7. The word sodomites appears in Scripture in the King James Version, and on each occasion it was translated from a masculine form of the Hebrew word kadesh, Strong's number 6945. Which signifies, Kadesh means separated or sanctified, dedicated to a god. That's the word that is translated as holy in terms of Yahweh. So Kadesh signifies a male who has been sanctified at a temple, meaning that he was given over to the service of a temple. In ancient times, both men and boys who had been devoted to pagan temples were used as male prostitutes. Something which is fully evident in classical literature. I don't have to go far in Strabo, Diodorus, the tragic poets, Pindar, especially I think Pindar, in order to show you examples of homosexual activity in ancient Greece. Especially Homer also. In Leviticus chapter 18, verse 22, we read, "Thou shalt not lie with mankind, as with womankind. It is an abomination." So in the Greek Septuagint, we read, and I'm going to read the Greek, but here I'm going to only read the version which I parsed and translated one word or one phrase at a time. Kahi meta arsenos. Now that's that word, arsen, which means male or masculine. And that kahi meta arsenis is, "and with a male." U komethese, which means "you shall not sleep." Koitain, in a marriage bed. The next word is gunahikos, of a woman or wife. And then it says betelugma gar estin, and that means "for it is an abomination." So, "you shall not sleep," and "with a male, you shall not sleep." Koitain gunahikos is in a marriage bed of a woman, a bed where you are generally expected to take a wife, and that bed is called your marriage bed, for your koitain, for the rest of your life, because that's the bed in which you got married to your wife. Not at some altar in a pagan temple. So Brenton translated the passage to read, quite reasonably, "You shall not lie with a man as with a woman, for it is an abomination." That's not exactly literal. I would translate it to read, "and with a male you shall not sleep in a marriage bed of a woman, for it is an abomination." And that word gune is the word that's typically used to describe a wife. A gune is, in ancient Greek, a married woman, a woman who's no longer a maiden. Even if she's widowed or divorced, she's called a gune, as opposed to a parthenos. A parthenos is a virgin, a literal virgin. So the Parthenon was the Greek temple at Athens of Athena, the virgin, because the goddess Athena, their Greek idol, was pictured to be a perpetual virgin. Oh, sort of like Mary. That's it. Okay. While the word arsenokoites does not appear in that passage, we clearly see the component words arsane, which is male, and koite, a reference to the act of coitus, which is conducted in a marriage bed. This is more than illustrated in the fact that the verb koimao means to sleep, as we also say sleep with a woman, as a euphemism for sexual relations. And the purpose for that is illustrated in the word for woman, which follows koite. If this was not describing sexual relations between men, neither of those two words, koite and gune, or koitein and gunahi, because in the grammatical forms here, neither of those two words would have been necessary. There is no excusing sodomy from a biblical perspective. These scriptures prohibit sodomy without question, and there is no other valid interpretation. The Bible forbids sodomy in Hebrew and in Greek, and it should also forbid it in English. It forbids homosexuality in Hebrew and Greek, and it also should in English. There's no excusing it.